help us to commence this morning with hymn 103. Oh, that the Lord would guide my ways to keep his statutes still. Oh, that my God would grant me grace to know and do his will. 103. To read two chapters. Firstly, the first chapter in the book of Ruth, and secondly, part of the 17th chapter in the first book of Kings. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. The first book of Kings, chapter 17. And we'll begin reading at verse 8. Verse 8, chapter 17 of the first book of Kings. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after those things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer.
Us now to seek thy face. Oh, we pray, Lord, that we may be enabled to bring our complaint and lodge it at thy feet. And how many of us here have to come and say we know not how to lift up our eyes unto heaven. We hang our heads in shame before thee. And say, Here on my heart the burden lies. Oh, we pray if it might please thee, Lord, that thou wilt look upon such those who feel to be out of the way, who have to cry out with one, if it be so, why am I thus? O Lord, we would find access. How often the heavens seem to be as brass. O Lord, we would bring our plea to the feet of Jesus and plead what he has done. Oh, to know that his blood has washed away our sins, that his righteousness covers us, and that we may stand before a holy and a heart-searching God as all complete in him. But oh, we long that the dear Holy Spirit of God may take of those things of Jesus, that he may reveal them in our hearts, that he is our Saviour. Oh, do come and speak with power, Lord, and bid our souls live before thee. Oh, do help us to plead with thee for mercy, for peace, for pardon, and that we may have divine life granted through the merits of Jesus Christ and him crucified. We do pray for faith in the blood, that it atones even for our sins, that thou hast not left us to perish as our souls deserve. Oh, it is life, eternal life, that we would have. Quicken us, O Lord, by the power of thy Spirit, and do grant us that true and living prayer indicted by the Holy Ghost in our hearts. Lord, it is to know thee, whom to know is life eternal. It is to know that thou hast set thy affections upon us from eternity, and put our names in the book of life, in the everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, that thou didst remember us when thou didst appoint thy dear Son to come down to earth to suffer, bleed and die in the cause, in the place of his own dear people, and was my name among those for whom he died. Seal us, Lord, one of thine, if it might please thee. Oh, the alternative is too awful to contemplate. Before us, a never-ending eternity, the day of judgment. Lord, on which side shall we be found when we come to that great and awful day? And it is at the door, for we know not whether we shall see the end even of this day. And even if we should live to a great age, yet our life here is but as a vapour, as an handbreadth. It is just as a moment when it is past. O Lord, do prepare us each for a never-ending eternity. Show us that we are born of God, that thou art our salvation. Oh, we have to come confessing, Lord, that we have nothing in ourselves to plead before thee. And daily we feel more and more rottenness within. Oh, for a breath of life. Do come, quicken our souls. Lead us to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And enable us to say by faith, my hope, my only hope's in thee. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is not in anything in me, for I find within only corruption. O Lord, do these things for us, and turn our mourning into praise. Turn our sorrow into joy, our darkness into light, and we shall sing thy praises to a never-ending eternity. But it must be thy work, Lord, for we cannot do it. Do come. It is a sovereign work, Lord, to know our calling and election sure, and that we are in Christ Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that thou wilt do this great thing for each soul here. And especially we pray for those who feel they are dumb and cannot open their mouth before thee. That Lord, that thou hast come and showed them that they are altogether corruption and depraved. No good thing in them. Oh, do remember such souls, Lord, who cry and groan, but know not how to pray. Enable them to keep on knocking. Enable them, Lord, to look unto thee, though there are no words. Thou must work, and thou alone. We pray specially, Lord, for those who have no real desire after thee, that thou wilt begin with them. And we specially pray for our dear young people as they grow up into life, that each one of them may know that divine touch, that thou wilt come and quicken their souls and show them their own emptiness, and that before them is the day of judgment. And Lord, that thou wilt answer their need and show them thy salvation. Oh, may thy house be filled with such as fear thy name, such as thou hast worked in and shown their own emptiness, but that there is a fullness in Jesus Christ our Lord, and that fullness thou hast made over to them. O Lord, we do pray for the prosperity of Zion, that thou wilt work mightily here, that thy house may be filled with such as fear thy name, who love thy name, for in it they find their hope of eternal life. Do come, O Lord, we pray. May there be more known of the work of thy Spirit in each of our hearts, that he may humble us in ourselves and teach us that Jesus Christ has done all things for us. O Lord, remember us today, we pray. In the services of this house of prayer, may there be something done which shall be for eternity and to thy praise. Whether it be in the hymns that we sing, the reading of thy precious word, or the sermons preached by thy servants, oh, may there be a power which is beyond anything we can know by nature. Our hearts move and cause to run in the way of thy commandments. Lord, this is thy work. It is a supernatural work, nothing like it known on earth. And this is what we long for, that the power of thy Spirit may be felt in our midst. We pray for our brother, that thou wilt help him as he reads to us, that that which was preached before may still be light, life and power, and that thou wilt go before each one of us and sanctify these things in our hearts. Oh, may we not go out as we have come in. Oh, may there be something done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. We thank thee for what thou hast wrought. We would not let thy mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness and without praises die. But, O Lord, go on to be gracious. Each longing, thirsty soul here, Lord, do fulfill their need. We ask that thou wilt come up with thy servant this evening. O Lord, help him, we plead with thee. And now we pray for the prosperity of Zion, for Lord, she is brought very low, and we know that there is a cause. And we confess before thee our sins, the sins of our hearts, that our prayers are so weak, but we plead that thou wilt remember thy Zion. For thy great name's sake, O Lord, do it. Work, Lord, and who shall let it? Oh, that there might be a reviving again, a quickening of our souls, a tender fear of the Lord in exercise. And may we be given that wrestling prayer, which can wonders do and bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer that can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates, that we may lay hold upon thee, that we may come to thy footstool and say, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Except thou bless thy dear Zion. O Lord, we long to see it. We plead with thee for it. Do not leave us disappointed. O Lord, we beseech of thee. We pray for our nation. We ask that it might please thee, Lord, to work in our nation. Lord, the hearts of all men are in thy hand. We have to plead it so often, and now we plead it again. O Lord, remember thy poor afflicted people, those who are troubled on account of all the things that are in the nation, all those things which are leading to a time of persecution for those who will live godly. And we pray, Lord, if it might please thee, do stay the hands of wicked men. Daily we hear of fresh troubles. O Lord, arise, for all power is given unto our Jesus in heaven and in earth. Grant us faith to believe that he is able, he will do it according to his sovereign good pleasure. O Lord, we pray for the persecuted ones. Do remember them, those who fear thy name. We pray that thou wilt make them faithful even unto death, that thou wilt uphold them by the power of thy Spirit in the face of wicked and bloody men. And now, Lord, each one here, those who cannot come, remember them also. We pray for those who, especially, who are in their last days, that it might please thee to appear unto their souls and make them ready for that great change which must come. May they be blessed indeed. May they have faith in Jesus Christ as their Saviour. We ask for thy presence. We ask for the pardon of all that we have asked of this, our great sins, that Jesus Christ and his blood may be our theme, our hope, and that the power of that blood may cleanse us from all sin. Amen.
Hymn 958. Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. 958. I'm going to try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Case. You will find the text in the first chapter we read, Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." What a sweet and blessed expression which comes forth from the heart of a poor sinner, as we sang in the hymn just now, "Order my footsteps by thy word, and make my heart sincere. Let sin have no dominion, Lord, but keep my conscience clear." It was the very expression, I believe, in the heart of Ruth, which was brought forth in this gracious and blessed language, which flowed not only from her lips, but was the very expression of her heart, as she implored, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee." This one who by wedlock had come into contact with Naomi. But there was a much deeper work by the Holy Spirit of God, and that which will remain. That work which is the work of God in the heart of a poor sinner must and will be performed in the heart of God's people by God the Holy Spirit. There is no real religion apart from the Holy Spirit's work as known and felt. Ruth knew that blessed work and what it was to feel in her heart those drawings which brought her out of her own country. As we read when Boaz said, "It hath fully been shown me all that thou hast done to thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come to a people which thou knewest not heretofore." He brings his people off things and draws them unto himself, and how that blessed work is the very essence of his own work to his own people, as we read in Jeremiah 31, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me." A personal work, and each one in the covenant of grace will know what it is for the Lord to appear. There are divers operations, but one Spirit. No two people are led identically alike. Though the teaching is the same for each soul, in every case there is a difference. God created us each individually. It is a wonderful thing when you consider the millions of mankind and no two people with identical fingerprints. And the same with wheat. They say no two grains of wheat are identical. The same with God's people. No two of God's people are led identically the same. There are differences of operations by the Spirit, but his teaching is to the same end. It is the same Spirit that quickens, and it is to this end that they might come unto God. The Lord appeared unto me, a personal work. Ruth knew this in her heart. She knew the drawing power of the Spirit. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying," that is a wonderful mercy if God has ever spoken. "I know my sheep," that is the word of Jesus, the Son of God, to his people. "I know my sheep, and they hear my voice." You see the exercise in the heart of the psalmist when he cried unto the Lord, "Be not silent unto me." Why? Because he knew a distance. the mark of a child. They will surely hear the voice of the Lord. If we have never heard the Lord's voice in our heart, then we have no hope. I know my sheep and have known of mine, and I call them by their name. Each sheep is called by a name. And here we read, and this is the very basis of all true religion, that the Lord has appeared of old from eternity. This is an eternal transaction. Why, surely there is in this covenant of grace nothing to do with the creature. This covenant was established by the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, a trinity of persons, in that the Father gave his Son a people, and the Son, in receiving those people, willingly obeyed that which his Father spoke, in that he must needs be as a lamb slaughtered for them, to save them from their sins and bring them to himself. The Holy Spirit ratifies in the hearts of his own people this blessed transaction. And what is it? The voice of God. It is the God with whom we have to do, and with whom we do have to do. And if we are not dealt with him by here, we shall definitely have to do with him in eternity. There is no escaping from that dealing. But it is a blessing if the Lord deals with us here and proves by his Holy Spirit that ratification in our own heart of this blessed transaction that is before us in this text. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. These are the drawings Ruth felt in her heart, the drawings of love. She knew what it was in measure for the Holy Ghost to shed abroad in her heart the love of God. And that brought forth the drawing to the object of love, which is Jesus Christ. The point is, have we ever heard that voice ourselves? Do we know what it is for the Lord to speak in our heart? Has the Lord ever spoken to me? That is the question. The psalmist felt it when he said, Be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I become like those that go down into the pit, having no hope. That is the pit of corruption, the pit of everlasting misery. That is hell. Oh, that the Lord might bring these things powerfully into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, that it might not be just words. We have heard many times these truths, but oh, that the Lord would at this time stir us up and cause that there might be the application of it in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Ruth knew that. She left her home and everything. I have tried to get away from this text, but in the week something was spoken to me by a person at home in conversation about what they termed my religion. They said, what a miserable existence. They said, you don't do this and don't do that. There's no enjoyment. Everything seems to be negative. You cannot convince people by mere words, but I did say this and felt it with regard to this text. There is more than negative in real religion. There are positive experiences and blessed joy. We are not only taken off things, but drawn to better things. And that is the point. And that is what we would desire to look into. Not only what we are brought from, but that which the Lord draws his people to. What is it? Our full salvation, as it is in Christ Jesus. The Lord not only separates his people from, but separates to. And while there is much loss, there is much gain. There are the everlasting riches the Word of God sets forth before the people of God, and they are all in Christ Jesus. Now it may seem in this separation that the less we have, the easier it will be. We were thinking in the home, just before we came to chapel, of the woman at Sarepta. How the Lord sent Elijah to the woman. What a sweet portion it is, how it sets forth this separation. Even if we have only two sticks and a handful of meal, we still need the Lord. The scripture sets forth the dealings of God with his people. Though she was poor, it was not natural faith caused her to obey, but living faith that wrought in her heart. There were many widows in Israel at the time, but only to the woman of Sarepta was the prophet sent. We might think Ruth was weaned from the things of the world. She was. And she followed Naomi. Not because of Naomi, but for the God of Naomi. Where does this teaching come in your and my experience? What is the coming to the end of all things? It does not mean to say we have to be brought as Ruth was, into the outward separation from everything here below. There is teaching in it, and I feel to see it in this. The Lord works by various means, diversities of operations. Not everyone alike are brought from the world in the same way. My mind went to the woman at Sarepta. She still needed as much grace to depend on God, though she had only a handful of meal in a barrel and two sticks. She needed just as much grace to come off those two things as you and I might have to come off a mansion or a well-appointed home. It is not your poverty, it is not your riches. You look at it. The Lord sent his prophet to Sarepta. He said, "When you get there, you will find a widow woman." And she was there. Those two people met in the providence of God, and by his leadings and dealings. And how sure that was. The woman was sure to be there, and the prophet would surely meet her. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to his eye. Have you felt that? When the Lord deals with his people and shows them his mercy and providence and grace, he shows everything. The minutest detail is looked after. His eye is over every detail. The poor woman came out of the town to collect those two sticks to make what was to be the last meal for herself and her son. You look how the Lord tried her. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not." A blessed fear not that was. And there is not a fear not in the word of God that is applied to the heart of a sinner, but there is great need of it. But when he speaks it in the heart, what a mercy it is. This poor woman, who faced death for herself and her son, the prophet came to her and said, "Fear not." Was this the first dealings of God with this woman? I do not think so. I believe she knew something of the truth in her heart. She said, "As the Lord thy God liveth." Is he a living God to you? Or is he the God of this book? A God you've heard of? Or is he a living God? There is all the difference. He is the living God. But do we know it? Do we feel it? Oh, that we might feel it now. Be present here in our midst to cause us to feel in our hearts that liveliness which he alone can give. This poor woman knew he was the living God. Do you know it? Or is he a God in word only? As the Lord thy God liveth, I have only a handful of meal. And Elijah said to her, Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Here we see the obedience of faith. Here we see the same faith working in this poor woman's heart as worked in Ruth's heart. It brought her off a few things, as we said. She had only a little in this world. But he will bring a sinner off and separate from the things of time and sense. But what a sweet word it is, and how the power of God was manifest in this poor woman's heart. You think of it. If you know your heart, you know what it is to rebel against God. Why should I be here? Why should I be in this place? What is it to rebel against God? You see, others, they seem to prosper. The psalmist knew it. Those who live in the world are as a green bay tree. They spread, have everything they want. Nothing seems to go wrong. But you look at it. The Lord brought Asaph into the sanctuary. And what a lesson that was. Have you ever learned that lesson? This was only a poor woman naturally, but here we see the grace of God in a sinner. She would have rebelled, for by nature she would never have brought the first cake to the Lord's servant. But see the obedience in the heart to the Lord and his command. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. Faith responded. And afterward, make for thee and for thy son. See the Lord's hand. This is what faith holds on and will hold on and only will hold on, the word of God. And she went, and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and her house did eat many days, the same faith. Did she not need any more faith than she had when she first went? She needed it every day, and the prophet did likewise. That was not a full barrel of meal. Every time they took a handful out, that was the last handful. Who maintained and supported those two sinners? What enabled them so to do? The answer is, God-given faith. And that walk was a daily walk. The faith of God's elect is a daily grace. He does not give grace enough tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And the Lord deals with his people in that way. Daily grace for daily need. There was a sweet and blessed reliance on him. And the woman and the prophet knew what that was. Daily to go to the barrel and cruse containing only just sufficient for their need. But that was maintained unto them. Some people seem to think the barrel was full. It was never full. Each time they went, it was the last handful. There was only the same amount as at the first time. It was only sufficient for two, and three were maintained on it. And faith in the heart believed God would provide for them in that place. A narrow place, but a blessed place. And the Lord maintained it according to his own word. But there came an end to that. The son died. Faith is tried. When the woman's son died, she said to Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance? It was the same with Naomi. She knew what it was for sin to be brought to remembrance under the chastening of God, under God's visitations. Here we see it, the same teaching. Naomi said, "The hand of the Lord is gone out against me. It grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Do you know what that is? Have you felt that in your heart? It brings to remembrance an occasion several years ago at home in the early hours of the morning. I had risen early, as I used to do, it being about break of day, the light on the landing customarily being left on overnight. I turned off the light, and we have a very dangerous stairs, and my little girl, she was 3 years old, got up and fell from the top to the bottom of the stairs. I picked her up, took her into the kitchen where there was a strong electric light. She said to me, and it went right through me, I couldn't tell anyone. She said to me, "Daddy, switch the light on." We sent for the doctor, and I believe I entered a little into what is here spoken of with regard to Naomi, the hand of the Lord being upon her for sin. With regard to this woman here, she said, "Art thou come to bring my sin to remembrance?" I shall never forget that spot. It was my sin. I begged of the Lord for the child, but it was my sin. I could see my sin as the procuring cause of all this trouble. I felt I personally was responsible for the child's injury, though I knew my child must stand for herself before God. I believe the Lord's people do know it in measure when sin is laid home with power, that it is my sin that procured the trouble. Has the Lord ever brought it home to you? Art thou come to bring my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? That is a solemn, deep work when the Lord lays sin home with power in the heart. Self is then condemned and God is justified. The doctor came in our own case, and God was merciful in that the child was not badly injured. But I shall never forget what I was brought to at that time as I waited for the doctor at the child's bedside and saw and felt my wretched sinfulness. I believe Naomi knew it. It grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. It is me. The Lord brings it home. No doubt Naomi felt, I wandered from the Lord. I brought my husband and my boys down here. It is my sin. The Lord brings it home to his people. Has he brought it home to you? It is personal. It is real. The heart knoweth its own bitterness. And this woman of Sarepta knew what it was. Art thou come to bring my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Elijah took up her son, and by the mercy of God, the Spirit of God, the child's soul came into him again, and he revived. And that was a mercy. What was it for? Why did the Lord so appear? It was for teaching. He teacheth to profit. She had come into that place. There the Lord visits by death that child to the end she may be taught. She said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." What? After all that had gone before? Surely she must have known before by the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil. Yet it needed this teaching to bring her to know. Now I know. The Lord teaches to profit. And once the Lord in mercy has taught, nothing can take that teaching away. It might be overclouded, and the devil might tempt us it was all in our imagination. There's no truth in it. But the Lord, from time to time, will bring us back into that place, show the sinner that it was he and he only could make known this in the heart. Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. By terrible things in righteousness, the Lord teaches his people the truth. And I believe that was taught to this poor woman at Sarepta. She was brought off everything. She was brought to this place to know that God alone could save her. To know God had the truth, and she knew what it was to buy it and sell it not. And knew what it was in her own soul to receive the truth in the love of it. The Lord gave her faith to believe that God, who had raised her son from the dead, would raise her up, and she would stand in the last day, not in her own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Lord made this truth known in her heart. And this was as much teaching to this widow in her cottage as with David who lived in a palace. He was brought to the same teaching by the same Spirit. Although my house be not so with God, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant. I believe this sets before us this. Ruth here was weaned from the scenes of time and sense, leaves her country, and goes to a country she knew not, drawn, attracted to the God of Naomi and the people of Naomi. And I believe all God's people are in various ways brought to the same teaching. But it does not mean we have to leave everything to the same degree outwardly. But we do have to come to the end of everything inwardly as a very real spiritual exercise, even as David had to come to the end of his palace. For he said, although my house be not so with God, that is the blessed truth contained in that statement by David. Yet hath he made with me, that was everything to David, an everlasting covenant. That covenant spoken of in Jeremiah, the blessed covenant of grace God makes with his people. He brings them from all the things of time and sense and draws his people to himself. Now, have we ever known anything of this teaching? But we want to come to this. Not only what we are brought from, but what we are brought to. What was it Ruth said? Where thou goest, I will go. Where was Naomi's God? What was it drew Naomi? She heard God had visited his people in giving them bread. What was there when she went forth? The Lord said in his day, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the bread and were filled. He had performed a miracle and fed them. They had followed him in the wilderness because they got that bread in an easy way, without toiling for it in the sweat of their brow. Was that Naomi's drawing? Because God had given bread to his people? No. It was not that bread natural, but the bread spiritual. He gave them bread. That was the Son of God. That was Christ. God gave his Son a people, and he gave the Son to that people. And it was that bread, it was that one, who drew Naomi back. It was that God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. That was the very means of her being brought back to her own country. God had given bread, but it was not bread natural, but bread spiritual she went back for. And it was the same bread to Naomi, which was the attraction to Ruth, who would go with her. Not because of the union in nature, but because of the union in heart. And this was the language of it. Where thou goest, I will go. Because she knew Naomi was a true seeker, and she knew she would find. and every true seeker in reality shall surely find. Naomi found, and so did Ruth. They found the natural bread, and they found the bread which came down from heaven, the Son of his love, Jesus Christ. A sweet and blessed truth, that is, that in the transactions of eternity, God not only gave his Son a people, but gave his Son to his people, that he might save them from their sins. That was the attraction. Herein is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £675, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be Thanksgiving services on Saturday at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Oakington Building Repair Fund. And Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach then and next Lord's Day, if the Lord will. Let us close with hymn 1066. Do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see, and cast each hated idol down that dares to rival thee. Hymn 1066.
gather the children this afternoon. Lord, do help in the Sunday school. Lord, we pray, come up with our servants. Do give a hand to bring before us. Lord, may it be a burden of sins. Lord, we pray, Lord, be with each one. Pull down our sins. Be with those on the ground. Lord, we pray, and help undertake for each one. Remember those away from us today. Remember young ones away in the university. Our friend Matt with us here will do help him too. As he commences his final year, Lord, to grant him that success. Now do open those doors for him each week. So Lord, do be with us now as we Lord, do forgive our every sin.